and we are now in the thick of the Shiva, the Nechemta. And it's good to think a little bit about these Shiva, the Nechemta, which we're living through now. The Lashon of the Tour is as follows. Mebreshes at Yudzayin Betamos, Machtirim Me'inyan Hapashias. It's talking about the Haftarahs. And he's saying that the Haftarah that is chosen for a particular Sedra is the one that has the same, approximately the same subject matter. So, Mibereshes at Yudzayin Betamos, Maftirin Me'inyan Hapashias, Doime Bedoime. Umisham Ve'elech, from Shiva Osa Betamos onwards, Lefi Hazman, Ulefi Hama'oira. The Haftarah is chosen not by the similarity of this particular chapter in the Nevi'im to that which was learned in the Sedra, that's not anymore the system. But the Haftorah is determined by the Zman and by the Me'oro. We'll talk about that in a moment. Talta de Buchanusa, the Sheva de Nechemta, the Tata de Tiofte. What is the Lefiha Zman or Lefiha Me'oro? It's the three Puronios. It's the Sheva de Nechemta, and two of Tshuva, well, whether it's two or one, that depends when Rosh Hashanah falls, that's not so nagea to us at this point. But the Ikke is the Sholosh de Puranusa and the Shiva de Nechemta. Now, of course, it's possible, I guess, everything's possible, but, you know, there are just three of Puranusa because it happens to be the amount of time that it took between Shiva Osa Betamos and Tisha B'Av, and the Shiva de Nechemta is because that's the amount of time that it happened to take between Tisha B'Av and when we have to get to Shavuot Shuva. But, of course, it's not that way, because in the Torah, at least that's my finder, that's what I learned throughout the years in Yeshiva, that there's no coincidence, and that everything is with a cheshbon. Now, the idea of Sholosh to Puranusa and Shiva de Nechemta is very, very interesting. I have to be Oide v'loy Evosh. They say, by me, it's Oide v'Evosh. I'll be moider, and I'm ashamed of myself that I never really thought about this, but it never meant very much to me. Okay, Shlosh de Puranusa, you got the 3 weeks, you got to worry about this, you got to worry about that. And then Shiva de Nechemta, so you have seven of Nechama. Okay, the three and the seven never in any way impinged on my consciousness, which is terrible. But the emesis today, it did impinge. And it's unbelievable what is being said over here. The number three, we know, we associate with the Chazaka. The number seven, we also know. Seven, this is the number which is usually used in Tanakh, in Chazal, to describe something which just goes on and on and on and on. Sheva Yipal Tzadik. Become, even if he falls seven times, like when Mapet on seven, it says, if he's a faller, always he'll get up again. So what is really happening over here is something which is very, very interesting. In other words, that the Sholosh de Puranusa seems to be that Puranus is Rachmona Litzlan Murzak. There is a Chazoka of Puranias. The Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the Golos in which we find ourselves, that is Murzik. It doesn't go away. And that is why you need the Shiva de Nechemta. Now, wasn't Mavara just now, I didn't learn the Hilchos Avelos now to know the Shiurim when by Barminon and Ovel. There's, of course, a mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, but there's a limit to that. There's a point at which, after that, it's inappropriate to be Menachem anymore. And I assume that the reason is because it's assumed that the Tzar, which needs the Nechama, is sort of softened, and the time for Nechama is now over. Now, Shiva de Nechemta means it's never over. And Puranus is Murzuk. The Nechama has to come back and back and back and back and back again seven times, and in this particular case, I guess if everything is Hashgacha, that too is Hashgacha. After seven, you go on to Tshuva, and that's it. So, but really, Mitzvah the 7, it could go on and on and on. In other words, if I'm right over here, I may be totally wrong. I haven't seen this in any sefer. But it seems to me that that is what's being said, that Puranusa, at least in our Tkufa Nebuch, where we're in Golus already for so long, the Puranus was Bar Minan Muzuk, and needs a constant Nechama again and again and again and again and again and again. The it's very, very interesting to me, the Posuk over here in Voischanan. Kisoilit bonim uvenei bonim v'no shantem ba'oretz v'eshchatem v'asisem pesel t'muna koil t'munas koil v'asisem ora b'enei Hashem elokecho l'achiso ha'idosi bochem hayom es ha'shomayim v'es ha'oretz ki ovod tovedun maher. Now, what have they said? Let's see what the Pasuk is saying. Kisolit bonim uvenei bonim. You're going to have children. By the way, I've remembered that we're going to Parshas Ekev this week. I'm going back to Voischanan for a moment. We'll get to Ekev in a moment. Kisolit bonim uvenei bonim. V'no shantem ba'oretz. Rav Shamshon Velhirsch points out that v'no shantem, the old, is not the contrast is not synonymous with zoken. Zoken means old. Yeah, what is the Nashantem? Nashantem isn't old in the sense in which zoken is old and not young, but the Nashantem Be'oretz means something that puts you to sleep. It's the same word Yoshan. Yoshan is to sleep. When we go to sleep, we're not planning on any changes. We hope the Rabbi Hashem should give us a restful and uninterrupted sleep. So sleep is something where nothing new happens, nothing fresh happens. You just go on sleeping and sleeping and sleeping, and you wake up in the morning and you're refreshed, and Baruch Hashem, it wasn't interrupted. I didn't have any interrupted sleep. Everything went very, very smoothly. So when we go to sleep, we don't expect to be constantly challenged in our assumptions, in anything that we have taken for granted. Sleep is a time when we're quiet and nothing fresh happens. So, Kisolit Bonim uvenei Bonim, after two or three generations in Eretz Yisrael, you will have fallen asleep in the land. And what will have happened? V'shatem v'asisem pesel t'munas koil. Now, what's the logic of that pasuk? You've fallen asleep, and what's the natural result of falling asleep? That you'll make yourself a bunch of idols. Like, why is making idols a symbol of being asleep? But I think that this is a pasuk which we can only understand, or really we can't really understand it, because we don't have the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But in times when there was a Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were mevatel it, so this was the most natural thing in the world. What's happening over here? The Rebbeinu Shem brought us into Eretz Yisrael, and gradually we are lulled into sleep. That means it's not a chiddush to us anymore. We fall asleep and finish, and it's taken for granted, and the whole story is not nageya to me anymore. It's taken as a given. No, so then what happens? So then I'm living in Eretz Yisrael. What do I do when I'm living in Eretz Yisrael? I have to go out to my field and I have to start working. No, but I have to make sure that I have Hatzlacha. So, Lefi, the psychology of the times, that meant making an idol. In other words, you don't deal with top management anymore. With top management, you dealt when you were negotiating the contract. So then you dealt with the top. Once the contract is signed, then it just goes along. So now you're dealing with the middle people. And when it comes to the Goy Shechaga, you send them a card or you send them flowers or whatever it is that you do. You're not dealing anymore. That is what happened. In other words, when you're Neushantem Boretz, when you've fallen asleep on the land, meaning that you expect no terrible things to happen, nothing out of the ordinary is going to happen, you're just lying there, sleeping away, and it's a machaya. So then when you wake up, so now I'm not dealing anymore with the Rebbeinu Shem directly. He has already brought me into Eretz Yisrael, so now I have to deal with the people who are the Malachim or the Koichos or whoever it is that they worshipped. You have to deal with the people who are the everyday people who make sure that the earth is fertile and that the rain comes and so on and so forth. So that's really what this pasuk is saying. Kisoilit bonim uvenei bonim v'nashantem ba'oretz v'ishchatem. When if you fall asleep, you're going to become ruined. Vasisem, why? Because you'll be pesel t'munas kol. Vasisem harab eni Hashem elokecho l'hachisoyim. You understand? Because now we come to this Moirotik Pasuk, and that's what brings us to Ekev in a moment. Ha'idoisi bochem hayoim es ha'shomayim ve'esa oretz ki ovot tevedun maher me'al ha'oretz asherat hem oivrim es ha'yad en shom ol rishta lo'isa ha'reichun yomim oleho ad hishomei tishomedun. Why ha'idoisi bochem hayoim es ha'shomayim ve'esa oretz? What's going on over here? Like, why the shomayim and the oretz? I can't say I have a kashi, but I don't have a tarot either. Why the Shomayim and the Oretz? There's no suffix in my mind that what this posuk is saying is the following. This is our wake-up call. And getting now to Ekev, and then we finish up, why kimei shomayim al oretz? What does it mean? L'man yirbu yimeichem v'mei v'nechem al ha'adom asher nishba Hashem la'avosechem l'aseis lohem. Yirbu yimeichem. It'll go on and on and on and on and on. How long do we want it to go on? L'aylam. So why kimei shomayim al oretz? It doesn't say anywhere else when it means forever. It doesn't say kimei shomayim al oretz. It says l'aylam. It says forever. Like, why kimei shomayim al oretz? The teretz is that these two passages which deal with the Indian of Golos here in Voschanan, Kisoilit Bonim and Nebonim, the sleep which lulls us into an unquestioning acceptance of a Metzius that things are simply as they are. So Haidoshi Bochem Hayom Es HaShomayim V'Esorot, you know why? Because that's the Pasha at the end of Ekev. It's not like Eretz Mitzrayim here. Let's see if I can find it quickly. So we know the Ramban over there, Rashi learns a little differently, but the Ramban says, "Aval du lochem she'eno k'eretz Mitzrayim lahashkos oiso beregel min ha'yorim min ha'gamim k'gan ha'yorek." That's the easiest thing in the world in Mitzrayim. You never for one minute have to worry about water, because you've got the Nile and you've got everything else, and all you have to do is to take a bucket, take the water, water the stuff, and everything is fine. Raki eretz horim uvekoos limtar shamayim tishtem moyim lo be'inyan acha. There's not going to be any water unless it rains. Utzricho sheyidrosh Hashem oiso tomid bamoto ki hi eretz tzemeo me'oid utzricho moto kol hashona v'imtavu al ritzoin Hashem v'lo yidrosh oiso begishmei rotzoin hine hi ro'o me'oid. Our beautiful Eretz Yisrael can become a gehinnom when there's no rain. Lo tzizra v'lo satzmiach v'lo yale v'kol esef. And so on and so forth. And that is why immediately after this parsha comes what? Then what? That rain concerning which I warned you just now that you need it desperately, I'm going to bring it in its right time. And so on and so forth. Yishamu lochem, v'lo yeh motah. That's what the Pasha is about. That means Vahoyam Shomaya is the Pasha that makes the earlier Pasha, like the Loik Eretz Mitzrayim here, but it's Eretz Horem Uvekoaos Limtah Shomayim Tishtemoyim. So it's putting teeth into that Pasha and saying, listen, I've now told you that Eretz Yisrael is a very, very special place. And it's only Limtah Shamayim Tishtemoyim. And for the Limtah Shamayim Tishtemoyim, you need the Rebbeinu Shlomo, that he should make the heavens rain. And now the Pasuk tells us, and here is the way to do it. These are the buttons you have to push. V'hoyam Shamayim Tishtemoyim Mitzvasaya Shonach Mitzav Esrem Ayoyim, then it'll rain. Yishomu Lochem Penyifte Levavachem, it won't rain. And then the pasuk goes on, and you need to do this and this and this and this. Leman yibu yimeichem yimei v'nechem al ha'adomah shanishba Hashem la'vasechem l'seislehem kimei ha'shamayim al ha'oretz. We asked, why does it say kimei ha'shamayim al ha'oretz? Why doesn't it say lo'aylam? Because the pshat is like this, we're talking about yimei ha'shamayim al ha'oretz. We're talking rain. The Rebbein Hashem should be merachem. There should be rain in Eretz Yisrael. People should have what to eat. It's such a scary situation, and that is what it is, and that is what we've been learning. Now we're getting back now to the pasuk in Voice Chana that what does it mean as Hashemayim v'Seoretz? That is the Rebbeinu Shloim's way of making a wake up call. Rain. Shomayim and Oretz, the interplay between Shomayim and Oretz, the thirsty earth looking up to the sky and saying, please give me water. I need water. Once I have rain, I can do my job. It's a fertile land. I need the rain. Shomayim, I need the rain. Kimeh Shomayim al Oretz. Ha'idoisi bochem ayoyim es ha'shomayim ves ha'oretz ki ovoy toy vedon. Meshunadik, how these two pashyas interact with each other. So the truth is that when we come to think about what we've learned now, we see that what seems to be the most fundamental worry of Klal Yisrael, the worry that needs a tikkun, and which is really the underlying soul of these two pashyas, was Hanan and Akev, is the need not to fall asleep on the job, that to be reminded that nothing can just drift. Drifting is our enemy. And that's what these two pashas are all about, and that's why we need the rain. We have to be misfalal, even should have rain in Eretz Yisrael. There shouldn't be Rachmona Litzlan Tzoros with a shortage of food, God forbid. And that is what it's all about. In Yiddishkeit, it seems, and that's something which it's kedai to think about, that the biggest enemy is sleep. Doesn't mean that a person shouldn't sleep. Of course, you have to sleep here, otherwise you make yourself sick. On the other hand, Yasser Milchom Lo Imashena, it's maybe we shouldn't indulge in too much sleep. And That's not my geschäft to tell anybody, but that is a problem. And you know what? That every morning, it's so interesting, and this is maybe a marshal of not being asleep. I want to suggest an etzer. I think that if we want to struggle against our propensity to fall asleep, if we need an etzer for that. The place I think where many of us need to work very, very hard is in davening, because davening is so much of a rote affair. Day after day after day after day after day after day, it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. It's so easy for it to become rote and for us to sink into a rote performance and not daven like we ought to daven. And maybe a good idea, if somebody wants to be mechazik himself a little bit, to break out of the rote mode. We are living, where's those of you who are listening here in America, so we don't have this same problem, Limtah Shomayim Tishtemoyim, to the extent that they have it in Eretz Yisrael. So what is our wake up call? And the interesting thing is that we have it right in the Siddur, and it's a good opportunity to think a moment about things that happen in the Siddur and which we would be inclined to just rattle it down because we've been saying it every single day for how long. And perhaps if we could train ourselves to be more questioning, to be more awake to some of the implications of what we're doing when we're davening these things, it might help. For example, in a book which I put out recently, where I talk about the brocha of Asher Yotza, which is very, very interesting, because let's just think it over for a moment. Maybe we've talked about it before. Asher Yotza es ha'odam b'chochmo v'orevon nekovim nekovim chalulim chalulim. That's not the way we say, but we could have said that. That would have been a perfectly respectable bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Yotza es Ha'odam B'Chachma, in the past tense, you created us with wisdom, uvoravah, and you put the nekovim, nekovim, chalulim, chalulim. Baruch atah Hashem, Roifer Kol Bosom, Nafli Lasos, you did a wonderful job. That's a beautiful bracha, very, very respectable bracha. Suddenly we veer off, and we change from third person to second person. We're talking now to Hashem directly. We'll die. The system, the digestive system, or whatever, the eliminating system, whatever you call that, it has to work. If Rachmana Litzlan, it doesn't work, there's big, 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 big trouble. Now, how does that come into the bracha? It's not a course in medicine. We're thanking the Rebbeinu Shalom for making our bodies in a wonderful and wise manner, and that everything interacts very, very beautifully, and life goes on. So what do we need now? Sort of like a party pooper, and he comes in and says, you know what, I'm aware that it's very dangerous. And we've switched from the past to the future. Asher Yotza in the past, Asher Odom B'chachma, Vorova in the past, Nekovim, Nekovim, Nechalulim, Chalulim. Now, Golui V'Yodua in the present, Shem Yiposeach Echad Mehem in the future, O Yisosem Echad Mehem in the future, Yashal is Kaim Velamad Lefanechem. Baruch Atah Hashem, Rofe Kol Bosom Mafli Lasos, not Rofe, Rofe, present tense. It's more yudik what's happening in this bracha. The Yashal is, like we say it, and we say it during the day, so it becomes rote. But look what's going on over here. What's going on is that the base bracha is Asher Yotza Es Ha'odam B'Chochmo V'Orevon Nekovim Nekovim Chalulim Chalulim. That's it. In the past, thank you Hashem for making a functioning body. Great. And now suddenly we're translating that insight concerning our past with a very, 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 very actual present day worry. Oy, Shem Yiposeach Echad Mehem, Golev Yodua, Shem Yiposeach Echad Mehem, or Yisosim, God knows what's going to happen. Things can change. It could be that Yiposeach Echad Mehem, or Yisosim Echad Mehem. No, so what's going to be then? Yeshal Yiskayim V'lamad L'Fanecha, in the present. There's no way of living. Roife Kol Bosa, you're the Roife Kol Bosa, Mafli Lasas. What has this bracha done? It has transported ourselves from a yoshan mode, Asher Yotza Es Ha'odam B'Chochmo V'Orevon Nekovim V'Noshantem Ba'aretz. If the bracha would simply have been Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Yotza Es Ha'odam B'Chochmo V'Orevon Nekovim Nekovim Chalulim Chalulim, Baruch Atah Hashem Roife Kol Bosom Mafli Lasos, if that had been the entire bracha, we would have been fast asleep. Now that we suddenly switch, Golov Yodul, if they say, wow, that becomes very actual. That's not something that happened in the past. No, but no shantem over here. That's today. Is everything going to work as it should work? That's a big worry. That's what this bracha is telling us. how many of us think about that when we make this bracha. That's a different question. Or rather, that is the question. So that is as far as our physical being is concerned. The same thing if we were awake to it, or if we are awake to it, we have 2 minutes later, Birchas HaTorah. Yeah, we ask HaKadosh Baruch to make it easy. Baruch Atah Hashem. How's it going? That you teach it to us. You teach it to us now in the present. And what do we say? How do we finish it? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher bochabonu mikol ha'amim v'nosanu nes torasa. Baruch atah Hashem nosein ha'torah. See, we constantly, the Chazal are sort of taking us by the elbows and shaking us to be awake. Look what's going on over here. You're constantly switching from past to present. Is that logical? The answer is it depends. If you're writing an essay, that may not be logical. If you're davening to the Rebbeinu Shalom, that is not only logical, that is hechreshi, that is life-sustaining. It shakes us out of our propensity to be asleep, and making us aware that the issues are present issues, constant issues. And that is what Ekev and Vashanan and Ekev have been about. Ha'idosi bochemes ha-shamayim v'esa-oretz. Every moment there's the shamayim up there and the oretz down here. We mustn't be no shantam. And that is why every day we are blessed with saying the second parasha of Kriya Shema twice. V'hoyam shamayim atishma mitzvah. It's always real. It's always there. It's always of practical importance. And that is something which, as we go now to the Shiva and the Chemta, I think that we started off by asking, yeah, we are Murzik in Puronius. That's the Sholosh of Puronius. There's a Chazok in Nebuch after the Churban HaBayis. Yeah, what can Shon sein after the Churban HaBayis? There's an Avelus that doesn't stop. There's a Chazok. Avelus is Murzik. So how do you fight a Murzik de Avelus? With an unceasing Nechoma, a Shiva de Nechemta. Again and again and again, Nachamu, Nachamu, Amid. Again and again, Anoshi, Anoshi, Menachem Chem. Again and again, all kinds of Nechoma, 7 different kinds of Nechoma, spread over 7 weeks. Don't allow yourself to be the Noshantem in the Murzuk of the Puranias. Allow yourself to be granted the dew of life, D-E-W, of life. The vivifying dew of life, to let Nechoma breathe life again into the years of a Sholosh de Puranusa. And well, let's bear in mind that we're heading for the 2 or the 1 of Tufta, of Tshuva. Apparently the best preparation for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is this living through the fight between the Noshantem, the Sholosh, the Chazoka of Puranusa, against the Shiva, the Nechemta.